Just want to begin by actually sharing a little bit about what I believe the Lord has been doing in Ambassador. And I thank God for all the things. Oh yeah, just want to highlight first, I will probably take 3 weeks, so the men's preaching will probably be pushed back a little bit, alright? Because I was actually thinking about this week. And then what struck me this week, I was talking to some people. I don't know what you... From the beginning of the year, what I did was I prayed that God will give us one baptism a month, okay? As a way of encouragement, whether there's 3 people, 5 people, 1 person, but a baptism once a month. As a way of... Then, I kind of just prayed and then I kind of just left it because it seems like things are not happening. And so, one of the things I've learned as a Christian soldier, as a Christian worker is, well, you just keep plodding on, you just keep plowing. Okay, your eyes mustn't be fixed on the outcome, but your eyes must be fixed on the Lord, as He asks you to work. And then, I've been praying and also really challenging people to take a step of faith, okay, to follow the Lord in believers' baptism and all that. And it just dawned on me, actually it was last Friday or Thursday, that as much as we want people to be baptized, we didn't provide avenues for them to actually do that. Okay, and so it was... So on Friday night, when I sent the thing to Brother Tim, I asked him, please print 30 sets of this. Okay, and that is our church members form. And I think there's less now. Anyway, there was 30, and during the Chinese ministry, when I came back, I counted, even before that, realized 12 was taken. Okay? And then there was a thought that came into my mind. You ask for once a month, one a month. If one a month for 12 months is equal how many, Phoebe? This is a problem sum. If one person gets baptized a month, how many of them will be baptized in a year? Huh? 10? 12, yeah, simple problem sum, right? You know what? It's as if God was saying, I won't give you one a year. I will give you all at one time. Then it dawned on me that what we have been doing over the last few months, we have been sowing, we have been watering, and now God is giving the increase. It dawned on me what it meant, the law of the harvest. And I think this is a very, very important law whereby as church members, as personal Christians, this principle always, always happens in all of our lives. Okay? Now I'm actually foreseeing that we actually need to preserve and conserve this fruit, so-called. I know I'm speaking in advance, in the sense of there are many people whose heart are set on following the Lord in believers' baptism and joining the church. I know I'm speaking the blessing in advance, but I know also that God has allowed us to be blessed with so much results at one time. And I believe very much it's because from the beginning of the year, since last year, October onwards, we have been sowing, we have been praying, we have been watering, we have been following up, we have been doing things, alright, in order to get the harvest going. And so, I want us as a church to understand the principles of law, the law of sowing. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, alright, Galatians chapter 5. Where the principle of sowing and reaping is found. It is applicable to all of our lives, whether you are a child all the way to an adult, it's applicable to you whether you are in different stations of your life, whether you are single, whether you are married, whether you are a father, a mom. It is applicable because the law of sowing and reaping is very, very clearly brought out. Right? In Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 10. Okay, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 10. I'll read verse 7, then you read verse 10. Let's stand, alright? Sorry, let's stand as we read this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 10, so that we get ourselves warmed up. Alright? Remember, please stop and ask questions along the way if you find you want to ask. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to verse 10. I'll read the first verse and you read second. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, then shall he also reap. Verse 8. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come before your holy presence today. Thank you for the people that have come. Father, we pray for those who are on the way, or those who have, for one reason or another, cannot make it today. Lord, I pray that your blessing, your presence will be with them. And I pray for one, Lord, who have chosen for one reason or another not to be here. I pray that God, please help them to realize, oh, it's so important, Father, to be in your house, for the word of God is taught. Father, help us, Lord, to understand this truth. We pray today as we want to follow in the book of Galatians, the law of sowing and reaping. Lord, it is a vital, vital lesson for every Christian, because it will encourage hope in us, it will encourage faith in us, it will encourage perseverance in us. When we understand from your perspective, Lord, why sometimes things don't happen the way we want it to. Because God, you have a plan, and we have to be actively involved in some way before the fruit can come out. Speak to us in a special way, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do. Teach us this truth, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. What I'll do is I'll go through these four verses, okay, and then you can make notes along the way. And then I'll introduce to you the seven laws of sowing and reaping, but we'll just do two today, okay? We do two, probably 2-3-2 or 2-2-3, depending on what formation we want, okay? Alright, but in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul started up by telling the Galatian Christians, be not deceived. The word deceive means to be led astray. Don't allow anyone to tell you any other way, alright? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. The word mock means to laugh to the face. Meaning that to be ridiculed. You make fun of someone. You know? I'm sure you all will have heard this. You know, you kind of make fun of people. Okay? Can I say this? In the Bible, as much as you may make fun of people, you cannot make fun of God. God says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by people. God will never, never be ridiculed. Alright? The word in the Greek has the idea of being ridiculed. God is not going to be ridiculed by us. Sometimes we think that by doing the wrong things, we can actually, get away with it. Okay, we'll touch on that as we go along. But remember this, we can never, never get away with the wrong things. Okay? Let's see, we can take the little notes at the side. Okay? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth. The word soweth have to do with scattering. Okay? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The word reap means profit. Okay, to himself. For he that soweth to his flesh, he that soweth, he that actually scattereth seed, he that actually put a plan in, or a person who says certain things, you are going to, if you sow to your flesh, the idea of flesh means human nature. If we choose to decide based on human nature, you will of the human nature reap corruption. As I was studying this verse, the word corruption has the idea of decay, ruin. You know, the scary thing about this is when we choose to make plans in our life, if we want to sow plans in our life according to what we think, we will actually, you know, we'll get back decay and corruption. And God will not be mocked. There are people whom I know who say, I had one colleague a long time ago in the 1990s when I was working in rehab, as I was trying to share. She has a sister, okay, and she's a younger one. She's kind of the wilder one, okay. So when I shared about Christ and hell and all that, and she said, I'm a Christian, okay, and you cannot frighten me with hell, the kind of thing, you know. And she is one who does what she wants. She just about bo jing hu one, no government, you know, no one can control her. She will live there. I'm not going to have children. That's what she's saying. You know, nothing is going to tie me down, kind of thing. All right, you reap what you sow. You know, many people can laugh at God and say, I don't need Christ. They can walk away from church. They can do things that will be inconsistent with God's word. Mark it down. God will not be mocked. Have you seen stories whereby when someone, maybe there's a king, and then he has his own small soldiers. All right, in front of the king, every soldier is very obedient, right? But behind the king, they say, who do king think he is? And when the king heard that, what happened to the guy? Right? I remember this story of Sun Tzu. You know Sun Tzu? Sun Tzu, out of war, right? In English, how do you pronounce it? Anyone? Sun Tzu.
Sun Tzu.
Sun Tzu. I remember the first story. They're trying to illustrate a principle of war. They say, one principle of war is you need to make someone an example, okay? And so Sun Tzu was trying to propagate this, but another person was saying, no, you got to talk nicely to them and things like this. And so they wanted to do an experiment. So they got all the ladies of the court, you know, all the ladies came and say, okay, all you ladies line up in a straight row. All right, this first man say. Then all the ladies started smile and all that. And then the general said, no, you must line up in a straight row. And so they began, and Sun Tzu was getting very irritated already. All right, and so say, come on, get a straight row, you know. And all the ladies, you're not listening. After the third time, this other courtier, the person in the court was, come on, get a straight line, ladies. Come on, you know, you have to. So she was trying to persuade and coax and things like this. And all the ladies, some of them were smiling and didn't want to do what is. And so Sun Tzu said, can you let me try? I said, yeah, sure. Or you get her in the line. She go, okay, come, get the first lady, cut off the head. Get in line. After that, everyone got in line. Okay, that's actually a Bible principle as well. Okay, you stone the rebellious child, and all Israel will hear in fear. Okay, what am I saying? Sometimes when we ridicule, the ladies can ridicule the general or the king. But God says, I'm not going to be mocked. You know, it's frightening when God actually does judgment. If God actually punishes us, if God actually judges us, it's going to be very, very fierce, alright? God says, He's not going to be mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you reap to your flesh, I want us in Ambassador Baptist Church, even as Christians ourselves, remember, if you sow to the flesh, if you make plans, if you make decisions according to the flesh, I guarantee you, based on the authority of God's word, we're going to get back decay next time. Okay, we're going to get back ruin. Okay, the Bible says it very clearly, verse 8. But he that soweth to the Spirit, or make decisions in the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, so in verse 7, don't think that you can mock God. Okay, because you will reap what you sow. Number two, the choice, your decisions, when you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap decay. You know, to put it in an illustration, if we, for example, if we sow laziness now, okay, if we are being lazy now, there are many people who are regretting their laziness now. I was talking to someone yesterday, and as we were there, he just didn't want to study, you know, he just didn't want to study. So he is a secondary three, and as we were there, he was lying down on his bed, and said, hey, what are you doing? And he said, don't know. It's like, no, it's not in our family, or it's someone else, okay? He just don't want to study, you know? All he wants to do is play computer games. So, why don't you? I didn't condemn him. I say I gave him my illustration. I told him, you know, I wish I put more effort into my Chinese 22 years ago. I wish I studied my Chinese better 22 years ago. Then I would have left of a problem today. And he was listening. But you know what? You reap what you sow. If you sow laziness now, next time you're gonna have problems. Okay? Now let's keep going first in verse 9. the encouragement by the Apostle Paul, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want you to take note a few things. Number one, God says, don't faint when you're doing the right thing. Don't faint when you're doing the right thing. In the law of sowing and reaping, one of the things I'll just kind of highlight first is there is a time period between we sowing and we actually getting the profit. Does that make sense? In the law of sowing and reaping, there is the principle whereby when you sow it now, you won't get it now, you'll get it later. Okay? That is the law. That's why Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing. I know of a lot of Christians as they are doing, and they find, what's the point? You know why? Maybe they have never heard of the law of sowing and reaping. Meaning that if you do good now, God assures you that you are going to have a harvest next time. Okay? So it's very important for us to understand. Don't faint when you're doing well. I want to encourage those who are going out tracting. Don't stop. Don't stop. I was sharing with Brother Joshua and Brother Robert, some churches who don't believe that it's effective anymore to track. And I was sharing with them one of the things. Let's do this calculation together. Okay, let's say we don't go tracting, all right? How many outreaches do we have a year? Gail, do you know? How many outreach do we have a year? Okay, we have VBS. How many VBS we have? Two, right? Okay, how many children's outing we have? Maybe three, okay, three a year, or four, okay, six, okay, for children. How many outreach do we have for the youth? Don't have. Okay, how many outreach do we have? Chinese? Don't have. Okay, what else? What else do we have? For the English service? Let's say minus attracting. Okay, we have two evangelistic meetings, okay? Two evangelists, that makes eight lah. Okay, lah. But given the days, that means we have six plus 3 days, right? Six plus six, 12. We've got 12 times of outreaches, okay? What else? Any other outreach do we have in the church? Minus attracting. We have about eight a year. You know why some churches don't grow? Because they're not sowing. Okay, let's assume we have eight a year without the tracting. Let's put in the tracting. We have Tuesday, Wednesdays, every week of the year. 152 times 2, how many times are we going out? 104. Now we have the Filipinos going out on Saturdays. Another 52. We have 154 outreaches plus the 8. We have 162 times a year we are out there throwing the seed. Sorry? There's more than one. What do you want by one third? What do you mean? Oh, okay, there's more. That means, I want us to think about that. If the law of sowing and reaping is true, we will reap if we don't faint. And you know, last Sunday we are reaping. Thank God. You know, we have people who... No, we're not after anyone, Tom, Dick and Harry, John, and Chad. People who are genuine, people who are genuinely saved, they trusted the Lord, they want to take the step of obedience in baptism or church membership. 120 to 30 over opportunities were out there. Invested. Okay, let's say every one of us, let's say half the church, 20 of us go out. Okay? And after out of the 130, and we spend 2 hours each. So we 260, right? 260 hours out a year times 20. Times 20, 260 times 20. Money calculator already now. 260 times 20. Come on, how many? 5,200. How many? 5,200 man hours outside sowing the seed. You reap what you sow. You know, the more, even look at statistically, some people say it's not effective. Yes, it's tiring. Which farmer is not tired? Planting rice is never fun. Then from morn to the set outside, cannot stand and cannot see, cannot rest for a little bit. But at the end, what do they get? Why are you laughing?
And next time you become farmer, then you know. I think Brother Robert maybe know.
Farmers, right? They have to be out there. They have to be out there. Otherwise, they don't. The farmers know if they don't plant, and they have to put it one by one, right? Right? They have to put it one by one. Can you imagine? Okay, I think recently, some of the countries of the world suffered major flooding. A lot of rice, a lot of wheat, a lot of things are destroyed. Can you imagine? But you know, if the farmer don't plant, what harvest is he going to get? Does that make sense? And I believe if Ambassador Matthew, you're just scared. You're going to be singing this tonight, I know. Okay. Okay. Yes. That's not important now. I'll talk to you later, right? Flooding is, that's not important. We're talking about how sowing and reaping. Okay? We'll talk about that now, later, okay? Right? But coming back to sowing and reaping, God says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Can you imagine the farmer say halfway, fed up, after 2 weeks, I've still got no rice. He quit. As a Christian, I think the more I think of the tracking and the number of hours people, you know, it's only 1 hour per person, but you spend 52 hours a year going out. You could have given out 100, let's say you give out 20 tracks, you give out 100 over tracks in a year. That is more than anyone in any other Christian will ever give. But you know, coming back to verse 9, but you know, we must not be weary in well-doing. Don't tire. Don't say, what's the point? That's when the moment a person says, what's the point, he's losing heart. You're losing heart. As a soldier of Christ, we fight until the battle is over. Now the battle is not over. We need to fight until the battle is over. We will reap. Let us not be weary in well-doing, Paul says, for in due season. The word due season means an occasion. In due season, right? In due season means at the proper time. Like rice takes time to grow. Wheat takes time to grow. Different crops take time to grow. We will reap in due time. In due time. How many of you have had this experience before? You actually keep going until you cannot take it anymore. You give up. Then suddenly something good happens. I should have waited for a bit more. Have you had that before? I think there was one, I think my wife would know, I shared before also, there was this man, he was faithfully, you know, just duplicating tapes week after week for the church people to listen to, but no one seemed to give him thanks or at least appreciate him. It came to the point that my wife actually just out of the blue, I think, said, thank you for doing that. And then you know what he told my wife? What is it? You should have said thank you a bit earlier or something like that. Because he already decided to leave the church. No, he may have a spiritual problem, I don't know, but you know, when we see people serving, we need to encourage one another. But you know, encouragement comes from God, but sometimes it's important for us to recognize one of the things I've learned. You know, sometimes we think Jesus says the fields are white already to harvest, right? You know what happens? There's only a period of time. Because if the harvest is there and no one harvest it, what happens to it? It dies. That's why many Christians or non-Christians, when they come to church, no one speaks to them about the Lord. Say, we need to wait for a convenient time. A convenient season never comes. The moment the guy is out there, he's not coming back, you can't do anything else. Okay? Now let's go on to verse 9. We will reap if we faint not. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, the word opportunity means an open window period. A short period of time. Once we have the opportunity, example, right now we have opportunity. If a non-Christian here, that's an opportunity already. That's the window period. After that, no chance. He go home, eat rice, sleep, and he goes back to his, and say, I don't want to go back to church again. We wasted that opportunity. Many Christians waste opportunity because you know why? Let me settle all my things first. I can tell you, there will be no opportunities. Even in our corporate world, even in the industrial world, they always talk about we need to create opportunities. And that's what we do. On Thursday, deliberately went over to our in-laws' place. We created opportunity. And we had dinner. It wasn't until the end of the I had about 20 minutes at least to share the gospel with my father-in-law. And he was listening. He was talking about how bad his life is and all that, thank God for the study of the Chinese Bible and things like that. I was able to at least share with him clearly in Mandarin now. And interestingly, one of the nephews asking, I said that I revived my interest in Mandarin, and so I was studying it, and he said, why suddenly you want to learn Mandarin now? So I just said, because I need to speak to your grandpa about Christ. He was just listening. No, such an opportunity. But you know what, we need to create opportunity, because anything can happen. My father-in-law had a stroke one time in the MRT. Another time he was cycling down the road and he just fell off. Anything can happen anytime. Christians, we must never think that we always have opportunities. We may not. We may not have opportunity. Okay? Opportunity can be lost. There was one person who was actually, this is a long story, but just cut the whole story short. There was this guy who was in church two times. He was in church two times. And then he heard the gospel, but he resisted the gospel. As he was driving home, he was actually involved in a car accident. Thank God he didn't die. But you know, the wife was screaming and screaming and screaming. The man was saved already, but the wife wasn't. And so, after the second time in church, he told the husband, don't ever bring me back to that place again, okay? And so, but after the accident, you know, she was screaming and screaming and screaming, and the husband said, hey, how are you? Are you okay? At the end of all the scream and everything was settled already, he fell over. The wife actually was just screaming, and she said, and the wife was not saved. At the end of the whole story, the husband actually, why are you screaming? You know, and you know, the wife said, I'm screaming because I'm concerned I won't have another opportunity to be saved. You know, many people say, oh, we have many opportunities to reach out, many opportunities for Christ. She only had two. Just said that. She only had two. Okay? The Bible says those who just came in, Galatians chapter 6, okay? Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. This must be the Christian's motto. We do good to all men. Everyone. Thanks, Sister Maria. I think she's just passing out some of the things. Some things. See, they're putting things into practice. Really, got opportunity, do good to all men. Okay, so as we have therefore opportunity, the Bible says, verse 10, let us do good unto all men. Christians, we won't always have opportunity. We must grab all the opportunities that come. Every opportunity that comes, we need to grab it. And the Bible says, let us do good to all men. Let us be kind. Let us do something that will benefit someone, okay? The last part, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, as Christians, we need to show a lot more love to each other. That's what the Bible says. As the day approaches. And one of the saddest things in churches today is that many church members feel closer to people of the world than people of the Lord. The Ambassador Baptist Church. I have 10 vision statements that I will share on Watch Night. Okay, 10 vision statements for Ambassador. That are characteristics of Christ that we as a church must have. I think one of them I can share with you is a pray. We want to be a praying church. A church that prays. A soul-winning church. A church that goes soul-winning because we love the people. Of course, there are other things. But you know, one of the things is a church that loves the brethren. You know, one of the hardest things right now is for churches to love each other. I mean, for Christians to love one another. You know what Paul says? As much as you have opportunity, do good to all, especially to them who are Christians. Especially to them who have your own household. Okay? And so as we go through that, I'm going to introduce to you the 7 laws of sowing and reaping. For those who just came in, I was just talking about the fact how, just very quickly, alright, just be patient, those who have been here. I just very quickly say, I asked God for one baptism a month at the beginning of the year. But God didn't see fit to give it to me then. But I didn't understand why. But as a Christian soldier, all you do is you don't know why, you don't have result, you just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. as a Christian, okay, can I say sometimes when the heart is cold, the duty must take over. You must keep on being there. And so, was wondering, thank God, at the middle of the year, I think we had Sister Annalyn join us, and so that was a blessing, but no, Sister Jesslyn joined us in baptism, and then after that, we had Sister Sarah joined us too. But you know, then after that, last Sunday, when we gave up the membership particulars form, and we printed 30, and 12 of them were taken, okay, minus some other people who are preparing themselves. So God says, I'm not going to give you one a month, I'll give you a bonus, one time I'll give you. Then it dawned on me, I begin to realize that is the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. And we need to understand that. We need to put in the work before God can give the increase. There are seven laws. I will introduce only two today. Over the next 2 weeks, I'll introduce law 3, law 4, law 5, law 6, and law 7. But the law number one of reaping and sowing and reaping, alright? Law of sowing, number one, we reap only what has been sown. Okay? We reap only what has been sown. The point here is life has choices. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians, just the next book. We reap only what has been sown. Life has choices, and the goal in the Christian life is to make the wisest choice on every decision we have. Okay? Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 18, Paul tells the Ephesian church, alright, it is very important for the younger ones to pay attention because you have your whole life in front of you. Of course, the older ones also, whatever remaining, we have also to make wise decisions. But especially the younger ones, whatever decision you make now is going to affect you for the rest of your life. Verse 15 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. The word circumspectly means being very careful. Every step of the way you are careful. Not as fools, but as wise. Not as fools has to do with the fact that, you know, sadly there are many teenager Christians today that will say things like this. I just want to experiment things. I just want to do what I want now. You know, that's a fool. That is a fool. A fool doesn't consider God in your decisions. Okay? Paul says, don't walk as fools but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time. What does redeeming the time mean? Anyone? What does redeeming the time mean? Redeeming the time. Brother Joshua, what does redeeming the time mean? Redeeming the time. You're running out of time, but what do you mean by redeeming the time? What does it mean to buy back? I know all this standard, but what does it mean in the illustration? Sorry? Waiting the right time. Perhaps anyone else? Redeeming the time? How many of you, you know, in some shopping, huh? Okay. Redeeming the time means, like what Jeremiah it's very awkward, brother. He is, brother Jeremiah, you know. The time is already yours. It belongs to you. It's up to you to make the fullest opportunities of what time you have. Kind of like in some shopping centers they have the redemption counter. You already have a voucher. All you have to do is go to the counter and take it. How many of you had good redemption vouchers that expire? Put out your hand, and then the guy said, "Sorry, I cannot give you because it expired already." Sometimes we have, right? And then you say, "Yeah, wasted lah. I should have." You know, every day, God gives us 24 hours. 1,000, how many minutes now? 3,600 minutes every day. As we spend 1 hour here, 60 minutes have gone, 3,600 seconds. I can tell you, God is going to bless you for these 3,600 seconds. Why? Because you were receiving from Him. But imagine if you're at home watching TV. I don't know what they have on TV. Yeah, maybe the athlete. Huh? Okay, let's say you're supposed to be in Friday night, but you watch, all you see on Friday night, if you stay home and watch soccer, is 22 grown men running after a ball, right? Versus God's word, which is more
a priority.
Does it make sense? Redeeming the time means you use whatever you have available to get as much spiritual input as you can. And we need to make that a priority. Okay? Now, moving on from there, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. One of the key things, another vision statement I'm really thinking about is, we need to be a church that seeks the will of and mind of God. We don't do things the way we want to. We don't set standards based on what we think. We need to say, Lord, what does your word say? In our life, not even in personal decisions, we need to seek the will of God. Because I can tell you at the end of the day, when you stand at the judgment seat, what you think is not important, what God thinks is more important. Okay? We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. In verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? The goal in life, because law number one, we reap only what we sow. We only reap what we sow. Listen carefully. You know, a lot of Singaporeans like to have free things. Okay, Brother Desmond was sharing with me one time. He was at Suntec, I think, and there was this food festival going on. There was this guy who was lining up. I think he was first or second line. I don't know. Brother Desmond was sharing with me, and he says he was so shocked. And then this guy was lining up. I know people will line up. Singaporeans got free things, they sure line up one, right? Yeah, Singaporeans line that one. And then Brother Desmond was saying, what are you lining up for? Oh, I'm lining up for food voucher. Oh, really? How much is the food voucher? $5. Oh, how long have you lined up? Oh, I've been lined up for the last 3 hours. 3 hours for a $5 voucher. And the line is long, okay? Singaporean mentality, got free things only. Must go for it, okay?
But, is that a wise thing? You reap only what you sow.
If your goal is, I want the $5 voucher at all costs. And then at the end of the day, you know what? Yay, I got a $5 voucher. You know? And they forget the fact that they wasted 3 hours. Let me ask you, is 3 hours worth more than $5? In 3 hours, I can prepare about 4 messages for me. I can calculate that kind of time. But you know, we reap only what we have sown. Which means this, what decisions you make will be the outcome in your life will be those decisions that you've made. If you make the wrong decision, you will reap the wrong decision. You will reap the consequences. That's why it's so important for us when we train our children up to put in them the right things. That's why as young people you grow up, you must make the right friends. You must choose your friends wisely. That's why in the youth club, Brother Desmond talked about how to choose your friends. Okay, what kind of person? We must be wise in our choice. Some friends, can I say this, I was sharing with one of our church members, and he was saying, he was telling his friend that in order to come to be faithful to the Lord, that sometimes he cannot meet up for his assignment. And then his friend was telling me, then you got to prioritize which is more important. And then of course this church member say, of course God is more important, you know. But then I told him, look, if your friend of the world think that your priority is wrong and is not right and doesn't respect that, he's not a good friend. Think about that. A friend that doesn't respect what is important to you is not a good friend. Okay? Of course, if you love cigarettes and drugs, that's a different thing. But you know what? He has his own personal belief in God. And here he have a friend and say, no, that's not the right. That's not a good friend. Think about that. And so as I was sharing that, yeah, it's true. If there's something important to you, then, as a good friend, you need to prioritize that one. But here, the Bible talks about if you have friends that don't, if you only have bad friends, you turn out bad. If you have friends that only do certain things, if you have friends that they always gamble, you turn out to be a gambler. Okay? So, let's turn to Psalm 90 verse 12. Psalm 90 verse 12. The law number one, you reap only what you sow. In Psalm 90 verse 12, that's why this is my favorite passage for birthdays, okay? Okay, Psalm 90 verse 12. The Bible says, let's read this together, alright? Psalm 90 verse 12, let's read together, ready? 1, 2, begin. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, the Bible says our life is short. We need to number our days. I had a friend, he was a Catholic. He had this weird guy. But you know, he had this... How many of you have seen the marble thing that I did before? You know, that what he did was... Psalm 90 verse 12, okay? What he did was, he challenged me, right? He's a Catholic. He challenged me, he says, buy a big glass. For every month, let's say we live 70 years, okay? Now, very quick one, title, this is for you, okay? Alright? In 70 years, how many months will you have? Okay, I'll tell you what, higher level. Angel. Anyone? What? Is it 840? Yeah, 840. Okay, 12 and 7. Okay, plus a 0. So, what he did was, he put 840 marbles in this big glass. Every month that passed away, he'll take out one marble. And then he said, now he's 36, he saw his marbles coming down lower. And he says that is an indication for him that his life is running out. You know, sometimes we need to actually understand. Sometimes maybe we need to have that. Every month that passes, maybe a child can take a marble. Maybe she should do that at home. Every month that passes, they just take a marble away. That indicates the end of our life, coming to the end of our lives. You know, although he wasn't a Catholic, at least he had some sense about the shortness of life. You know this verse, the psalmist David say, sorry, this is a... No, this is a prayer of Moses, sorry. He says, teach us to number our days. So that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. So that every day that come, Lord, today I've got 6 hours. Lord, what I want to do? Can I say this? Scrub that. What's the English phrase that? Wasting time? I got some time to kill. Yeah. Don't kill time. Redeem it. Redeem it, okay? Okay, you can do that. Okay, you got Bible on handphone, right? Rather than go Facebook, go Bible. How about that? Okay, what I do in my free time right now, I'll turn to the Chinese audio Bible and listen and try to pronounce it. What did God give us technology for? Not to enjoy and play. To have pleasure, but not to use it for God. We did apply our hearts to wisdom. Children, most importantly, always think of something to do. Don't sit around and say, I'm so bored. Can I say children are helping parents? Children, if you say you're bored, means you're not thinking. You have no time to be bored. You know why? The laundry needs to be washed. The floor needs to be swept. Your toys need to be kept. Your clothing needs to be folded. Your pencil is, all your shavings on the floor. Mommy may need some help to pour water in. You got no time to be bored, understand? Alright? Redeem the time and can tell you. You'll be a blessing to your parents. Okay? You'll be a blessing when you use that time. Alright? So, now the positive side of this, let's turn to Matthew 5:45. There's a positive side of the law. Matthew 5:45. We reap only what we've sown. The positive side of this law is two levels. I'll give you the first one. The blessings we reap because of God's work. Alright, Matthew 5:45, I'll read there. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Many of us are blessed because of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Someone else sowed, we reaped. Someone else sowed. So we reap blessings because of God's work. But we also reap blessings because of others, what others have done. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 35. John 4 and verse 35. John 4:35. The Bible says, say not ye that there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth food unto eternal life. That both he that soweth and that he that reapeth may rejoice together. And sometimes for us, we go for door knocking. We may be just reaping what someone else have been trying to tell these people about Christ. Does that make sense? And so people may we have experience whereby when we knock and someone is just ready for the gospel. I think there was one time in Yishun, we were just there and someone was saying, "Hey, I think I was just thinking about Christ the other day and I've backslided so long." And then you came. And God has been working, and so we are reaping. Alright? Sometimes we are the one who sow first. We give the tract to someone, and then the person has been reading, and then someone else comes in and reaps it. Okay? So sometimes the positive side is we reap because of God's work, and we reap because what others have done. Children, you will reap what your parents have done, the good work their parents have taken care of you. You know, your parents have been very careful with your health as you grow up. You reap the blessing of a healthy life. Does that make sense? If you have parents who have been taking care of you by teaching you the good habits, you grow up with good habits. Does that make sense? So you, but then there's a negative side. And this is something that sometimes it's hard for people to understand. Listen to Exodus 20 verse 6. Exodus 20 verse 6. You reap only what has been sown. Exodus 20 verse 6. Exodus 20 verse 6. The Bible says, sorry, verse 5 first. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. The negative side of this first law, you reap what you sow, is that sometimes, as children, whether you are grown-up children or now, we inherit what our parents have done wrong. And sometimes it's very painful because if our parents, I've seen sadly some parents when they were having the child, they were drinking and smoking, and and they drink a lot. There's this syndrome called Korsakoff syndrome, whereby the person is just, they grow up with this Korsakoff syndrome, which is basically the brain burned by alcohol, because the parents are into alcohol, and so the children, they reap the evil, the side effects. And this is a solemn warning for every parent. If we do wrong, if we make a wrong choice, it goes out to the next generation. If we choose something that is wrong, it goes back. It will, because God says, I'm not going to be mocked. No one will ridicule me. No one is going to plan or decide contrary to my word and not suffer the consequences. That's what God is saying. So don't be mocked. Make the right decision. But the negative side, sometimes we inherit the wrong of our parents. And so parents, we need to do all we can to do right. But Brother Johnny, you know, I've made so many wrong decisions. Well, you know what you need to do? Repent. There's always a way back to God. Always a way back. God is always open. You need to repent, confess that sin, and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And can I say that even after you do that, we may already have to pay for some of the consequences. Okay? The negative side, we inherit the wrong of our parents. And the second one, Romans 5:12, I'll just read it. We inherit the wrong of Adam. We all have the sinful nature. Some people just cannot. They're not fair. Well, I wasn't the one who sinned. Well, you have no choice. How many of you have a choice whether you want to be born in Philippines or Timbuktu? Huh? You're born in the Philippines means you're born in the Philippines. What choice do you have? You don't have. Some things, we just don't have a choice. We're just there according to God's plan. In application, I just give you a few. Based on this first law, we reap only what has been sown. God wants us to sow the right choices. Make the right friends. Find the right church. Ask for the right things from God. A call to sowing the right choices. We need to sow what is good. Okay, a call to sowing what is good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, what does the verse say? Be therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay? The call is continue to make decisions for what is good. Why? Because in the law of sowing and reaping, if you will sow the good, you will reap the good. Amen? If you sow evangelism, if you sow soul winning, if you sow tracts, if you sow telling the gospel to people, what will you reap? You will reap souls. And that's what we've been doing. Thank God we have Sister Jesslyn getting saved. And now my mom. And we're praying for Lydia's parents. Praying for your parents too. But you know, can I say this? That no one can hear, no one can get saved if we don't sow the seed. We don't sow the seed. Sometimes there's a lie of the devil there's one lie of the devil, and the devil says this: oh, you don't have to tell them the gospel. Just show them by your life. You know, they'll die and go to hell. Because there's no seed. There's no word of God to take root. Okay? We need to call to sowing what is good. We need to call. There's a call to sowing thankfulness. Thankfulness. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Rather than being grumpy and grouchy, why not sow thankfulness? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Okay, some specific ways. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So thankfulness. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. I was speaking to my father-in-law, and you know, he one time he would be thankful, one time he would complain, one time he would be thankful, one time he would complain about his life and how terrible it is. I was privileged for me to just share with him the gospel. And say, as Christians, we can be thankful because we have a Heavenly Father that cares for us. We need, as Christians, to learn to be thankful. We need to learn to be thankful, okay? Because if we reap only what we have sown, that means even though we don't see it now, it will come. The good will come, okay? In Matthew 10, I'll just read, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48, there's a call to biblical obedience, okay? Called, let's turn there, right? This is important. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48. Okay, the Bible says, you have heard they have been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, right? This is not true. Do you realize this is not true? This, it is written, it is. You have heard because the Pharisees changed God's word. If you find in the book of the Mosaic Law, God says, love your enemies. This was changed by the Pharisees. That's why Jesus had to bring it out and say, you guys are reinterpreting my law. Okay, but in verse 44, by saying unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Okay, Jesus wants us to get back to biblical obedience. But Brother Johnny, is hard. Jesus, our Savior, Lord, is hard. But that's what, if, you see, can I say this? I've learned this thing about, when we see the situation terrible, we don't see how it's going to, what is going to happen. God says, if you will believe me, I tell you to sow love where there is hatred. I tell you to sow reconciliation where there is disunity. I tell you to sow forgiveness where there is unforgiveness. I tell you to sow whatever that is necessary. Even though the thing doesn't come back, because you have sowed, can you see God can make it grow? Does that make sense? Oh, I see it happen so many times. Whereby, despite the offenses, we take a different road. We take God's road. And God actually, we actually reap the blessings after that. Okay? Does that make sense? Here, God wants us to get back to biblical obedience. When we love, when people hate us, verse 45, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. We know what God does. He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. You know what God says? Follow me. How many of this world hates Christ? More than 50% hates Christ. In fact, when Jesus was here, everyone hates Christ. Even his disciples left. You know what? But God says, I still send rain on these people who don't thank me for it. Everyone that eats at the hawker center today, God was the one who made sure the sun shines so the food can come. But you know what? It's a sad thing. Even Christians sometimes feel shameful to give thanks. Verse 46, Jesus, if you love them which love you, then what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? God wants us to be biblically obedient to Him. And the next one, because we have benefited from God, we need to show the same grace, same love, and same mercy to others. Okay? The next one, a call to trust God to provide for our needs. That means the idea is we reap what we sow. We can trust God that when we reap the right thing, God will take care of us.
Then we need to learn to trust God. Okay? And finally, a call to prayer and wisdom and waiting on the Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah 40 verse 31. We did that last week. But Isaiah 40 verse 31, as we trust this law that God has given, we can learn to wait on God. Because if we don't get it straight away, then we can learn to wait. Okay, Isaiah 40 verse 31, the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. But they that wait, I want to just focus a little bit on the meaning wait. You know the meaning of wait? Wait means I am waiting because I know it's going to happen. I am waiting because I know it's going to happen. I am waiting because I know it's going to happen. I had one of the biggest blessings in my life when I understood this when it was March of 1989 when I first applied for a scholarship for my degree in Australia. I applied for it in March. By April, in my heart, it was settled. God's going to give me. I got the answer only in December, 9 months later. But already in my heart, I just felt that peace and that God was going. So I was very peaceful in terms of waiting, just waiting on the Lord. As I begin to wait on the Lord, things just get stronger, things just get into place. They that wait upon the Lord. When you trust God, that is going to happen. For us as Christians, why do you think for me and my family, I'm trying to lead them in this, we serve Christ because I believe it's going to come. Christ is going to come. This world is going to be left behind. We're not going to put anchors in this world. This world is going to be left behind. So why worry about this? Yes, we do have our regular duties, but let's trust the Lord. Okay? We need to learn to wait on God. Okay, number one, the first law, we reap only what has been sown. Number two, law number two, very quickly, we reap the same in kind as we sow. Okay, that means we will sow, whatever we sow, we will reap. The law number two is, we will reap the same in kind as we sow. That means sin, if you sow sin, you will reap sin. If you sow hard work, you will reap the results of your hard work. If you sow being deceitful, being if you like to bluff people, then you will be bluffed. You'll be bluffed. Okay? So some people say, hey, God bless me, but actually because they work very hard. And a lot of people say this, it's not God that gave me all this. I work with my hands. You know what? That's still God's law, the law of sowing and reaping. But he forgot that it was God who gave him the health. Okay? One of the things I really hate Bud Simpson, I'm putting it on record. I hate Bud Simpson. I don't like him. Okay? Because there was one time in a cartoon whereby they were supposed to give thanks. Okay? And Bud Simpson said, oh, God, thank you for the food. But anyway, it was Dad who gave the food. And so my dad was the one who earned the money. So no thanks, God. You know, after he said that, I switched off the TV. I don't ever want to see you again. How dare you? I mean, this is in Australia, not in Singapore. It's Australian TV. What blasphemy over the television? Bud Simpson, the creator of Bud Simpson, forgot that it was God who gave him life and eyesight to be able to draw the cartoon. That he will not even give God thanks. Sin reaps sin. Please understand this. When we sow an attitude that we know is wrong, it will come back to us. It will. I know. I can see it in my children sometimes. They come back. Why? It's me. That's why when I preached 2 weeks ago, remember the lady who wanted to save the daughter? What was her first prayer? Have mercy on me. The Bible is so personal. As I preach the lessons on prayer, God has to convict me of different things. Sin will lead to sin. Let's turn to Hebrews 3:13. That's why God put Hebrews 3:13 in there. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. Okay, I use this with the Chinese also. Hebrews 3, verse 13. I'll just read. Look at verse 12 first. Take it, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the evil, from the living God. Okay, I'll read it again. Verse 12, Hebrews chapter 3. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Oh, be very careful. An evil heart of unbelief. Can I say this? Unbelief starts off. The indicator of unbelief is disobedience. When we start disobeying God in the little things, that's the beginning of unbelief. Because if you truly trust Christ totally, you would follow Him totally. But when you start to disobey God, there are what we call evil heart of unbelief starting to come in. So in verse 13, but exhort one another daily. How often? Daily. Why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. After a while, when people don't come to church, they say it's okay not to come to church. That's deceitfulness of sin. Sin has already deceived you that it is okay not to come to church. It is okay not to read the Bible. It is okay not to pray. Many Christians have never realized that certain things they are not doing is actually sin. To him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what the Bible says. But many Christians have rationalized it away. They have been deceived because they have not been doing so long. It actually leads to unbelief. You don't believe that it's sin anymore. And it becomes so hardened that when the gospel is preached, you know, people, when you preach about sin, they get angry. You know why I bang on sin all the time? Because I don't want you all to be hardened. I want all of us to always have a tender heart towards God. The Bible says, exhort one another daily, why it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, two quick principles and then we'll close. The principle of reproduction. Okay, Psalm 51 verse 5. Let's turn there. We reap the same in kind as we sow. Okay, that means in the principle of reproduction means, the Bible says, in sin did my mother conceive me. Alright? David said, Psalm 51 verse 5, in sin did my mother conceive me. So I sin. I'm a sinner. The children, the offspring of my family, Jeremiah, Joanna, Jaira, and Esther Joy, they all inherit the sinful nature. Okay, so all of us, I know Ezra looks very cute when he is young. I know Ruth looks very cute when he is young. When he comes to 3, 4, 5 years old, then we'll see what happens. Okay, and I can guarantee you, Felicia and Chang is not going to teach him how to do wrong. Why? Because it's the sinful nature that comes out. You reap, there's a law of reproduction. Okay? And the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3 to 6, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Let's turn to John chapter 3. This is a very important principle. John chapter 3, I'm not going a bit fast, but it's very important for us to catch this. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus says this, a man must be born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Look at verse number 5. I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, you'll keep that nature. If you're born in the flesh, you're a flesh. But if you're born of the spirit, you're a spirit. Okay? So flesh reproduces flesh. So what's the significance of it? We're all sinners. We cannot change. Whether we like... We can change our behavior, but you cannot change inside. So which means what? Every decision we make, if we make it in the flesh, ultimately we will reap destruction. Do you realize that Christians, even after we are saved, and we choose not to follow God's plan, and we make decisions in our flesh, you will reap decay and ruin. That's what the Bible says. You will. You mark it down. Many Christian families, as they grow up, begin to disintegrate as they grow. You know why? Because sin spreads. You can make a small you can make a small mistake here, but as they grow, what happens is that let's say the family is growing, let's say there's this person and this person and this person, there's a whole personality there that's not controlled by God. There's a whole personality here that's not controlled by God. There's a whole personality here that's not controlled by God. The sin has been put in wrong decision, it spreads, this person begins to take it and it begins to grow. You cannot control it. And after a while, families begin to break down. Why? Because sin has been put in. Because it's been in the flesh. It's in the flesh.
And you realize that it doesn't have to be continuous sin, it's just one sin. It's just one sin. David sinned one time. And look at the, you realize 75% of his children died. 3 out of 4 were killed. Because Nathan the prophet said, because you have killed Uriah, the sword will not depart from your mouth, house. 3 out of 4 of his children died. You know one of the laws that I'll bring up? You always reap more than you sow. You know the scary thing? When you reap evangelism, God blesses you a lot more. But when you reap sin, sin comes back a lot more too. King David, Prophet Nathan said, you slept with someone's wife in secret. Absalom, his son, will sleep with all your concubines in public. You reap sin far greater. Does it make sense? It was just the eating of a fruit. But what was the outcome? The wages of sin is eternal death. Okay? So how? We're stuck. If that's the case, we keep making decisions in the wrong way, we're stuck. That's why we need this thing called regeneration. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Let's turn there. Let's turn to Titus 3, 5. Titus 3, 5. You see, in our old nature, we can never do what is right. We can never do what is... We can never sow what is right. But in Titus 3, 5, God had to do something to change things around so that we can once again get the blessings of God. Titus 3, 5. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. God didn't change our old self. It cannot be changed. God has to give us a new one. God has to give us a new one. And so that's why the new one must fight the old one constantly. Okay? That's why the Bible says you must be what? Born again. There must be a new spirit of God in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Can I say this, parents? All your children need to be born again. George Whitefield, a famous evangelist in the 7th century, prayed, you must be born again. You know, every message he preached, then someone says, Mr. Whitefield, why do you preach you must be born again? He said, because you must be born again. You know, children are not going to change their character unless they're born again. Children, as you grow old, as your parents try to teach, are you listening, children? As you grow old, and as you hear your parents say, you need to be saved, you know what has to happen? You need to trust Christ as your personal Savior. You are not going to change your behavior without the power of Christ. Because all you do is what is in the flesh. What comes naturally to you. What you feel. There was a pastor who said, if all we do is what comes naturally, we'll go straight to hell. Okay? If you just do what you want, you feel like it, you eat. You don't feel like it, you don't eat. You keep on doing that way. You're living by the flesh. And the Bible says, the more you go down that road, you will reap corruption, you will reap decay. And as your parents can pray and fast for you, if you do not say, I need to wake up and come back to Christ, the Bible says you will reap decay. There's a line there as we close. Sow a thought, reap an act. When you think of something, and you reap an act. Once you reap an act, you keep doing it, it becomes a habit. And once you do a habit, it becomes a character. And once you reap a character, you reap a destiny. So a character, you reap a destiny. This is so important in child training. You need to put in the right thoughts. Parents, where are the right thoughts you need to give your children? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let the Word of God dwell richly in you. And when your children have the Word of God, they will respond in life with the Word of God. Any questions? In the next 2 weeks, we'll try to finish the other 5 laws. Law number 1, we reap only what has been sown. In other words, if you don't reap, you don't sow. Nothing free. We reap the same in kind as we sow. In other words, if you reap sin, you get sin back. If you reap a bad attitude, you get a bad attitude back. If you read love, you get love back. Think about this. If you read agape love, unconditional love, you get it back. If you give forgiveness, you get forgiveness back. You know, Brother Johnny, I heard forgive this person. But anyway, you get forgiveness from God. Amen. Then we just say, any questions as we close? If we sow indifference to God and spiritual values and priorities, we will reap the fruit of indifference, ignorance, hardness, greediness, frustration. We need to realize this. If we are indifferent to God, you know what? You reap indifference from God. God's not going to bother about you. But you say, God, I want you in my life. And God says, I will give grace to the humble. Okay, any final questions? The law of sowing and reaping. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. People are very quiet. But Lord, I pray that these thoughts will sink into their minds. Oh God, I pray for the children of our church. Father, please, I ask you to take every one of our children and help them and protect them by helping them make the right decisions from young. That God, they will decide to obey mom and dad. God, they will decide to work hard. God, they will decide to do right, even though everyone does what is wrong. They will decide to read the Bible versus play, if there's a choice. They'll decide to love you more than love this world. That as they grow, Father, their hearts will be tuned to the correct frequency we have in heaven. Father, I pray for our teenagers. I pray that everyone will make decisions right. They will choose their friends right. They will not choose the beauty of this world. They will not choose the fashions of this world, but they will choose to stand with Christ. And yes, the friends of this world may despise them, but God, like Moses, help them not to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, not to be one wanting to identify themselves with this world. I pray for our young adults as they grow up. There will be many challenges in their careers and changes. I pray, Lord, they will never give up their spiritual love for you, the spiritual principles that they need to stand for. That God, through their life, as they sow the love of Jesus, Lord, they will get the love of Christ, and that people's lives around them will be changed. I pray for every mom, that God, you will strengthen them to be strong supporters of their husbands as they serve you. And that God, their heart will be in submission to you and to their husbands to serve you, that their children might see the principle of Christ in their lives. And I pray for every husband and man, that we will take the spiritual responsibility as we have to. That God, when we decide, when we sow spiritual leadership in the home, when we sow prayer in the home, when we sow love in the home, when we sow diligence in the home, when we sow hardworkingness in the home, when we sow sacrifice in the home, Lord, it will reap the right things. Come in and best into your hands. May we be a church that will sow the right things at all times. And I thank you, Father, for the many people that have indicated through their taking of the forms that they want to be church members. I pray for every single one of them. For those who are not too sure, I pray you open their heart. Help them to take the step of faith. For those who are already sure, help them, Lord, to be encouraged that they are doing the right thing because they are obeying Christ. Once again, Lord, we want to say we are not here to make a name for ourselves, but there are many people who need Jesus Christ, including our loved ones. Oh God, I pray a special prayer now. Help us to sow the Word of God in their lives. Help us to sow evangelism. Help us to sow love. Help us to sow, Lord. You say that if we sow, we will reap if we faint. No, Lord, help us not to give in until we see fruit. Thank you for what you're going to do now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me take some